Headlines once again continuing, and part of it is the soy oil. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us this afternoon with StoneX. So let's just talk about the continued influence soy oil is having on this market trade.
Yeah, we saw soy oil prices go to nearly two-year highs really show some impressive strength in here today before collapsing lower. And say, okay, why did we collapse lower? Why were we that high in the first place? And then why did we collapse lower? Was that high in the first place for a couple of reasons. One, we get some underlying support from the strength of the biofuel program that was announced by the EPA here last month. And that certainly is a positive. Demand for soy oil is, we believe, is going to be very strong. We're going to be using up the surplus that we built up over the last couple of years. We've already seen soy oil stocks start to go down. We had some soy oil registrations for delivery that were removed from the registry list here today, simply because the cash market is becoming so strong. It was no longer conducive to delivering against the futures contract, but rather hanging on to the cash and dealing with it in that form. So soy oil demand is strong. That's one reason we went higher, because of this biofuel program. In order to hit the program's objective, we're going to have our biomass diesel plants going at nearly full capacity the rest of the year, and our crushing facilities for soybeans are going to have to go at near full capacity as well. And then we'll probably still have to import some fuel and probably have to import some soy oil. Well, that comes to then why we started collapse, because the higher these prices get, the more they start making buyers of it start to look at imported supplies and start to question, okay, at what point does it become cheaper to start using other materials, including imported soy oil from Argentina? Now, Argentina's harvest has been delayed. Farmers have been slow to sell as well, and that has tightened up the supplies available from Argentina. We expect that to very quickly start to change and make Argentina supplies available. And I think that realization today was part of the reason for soy oil reversing lower. And once that happened, soybeans were able to break lower as well, encouraging some more Brazilian farmers selling during the latter stages of their harvest as well. Doesn't change the long-term fundamentals. It's more about a short-term cash flow situation, but it has been quite a ride up here for the soy oil contracts.
What are we seeing with the weather? Is that kind of the other thing? I mean, obviously, besides the global headlines, but locally, weather, is there some concerns that are continuing to ramp up?
Well, from a weather standpoint, we've been seeing, let me start internationally first, Argentine harvest been delayed. Looks like that's starting to improve, and we should see improved movement there. Southern Brazil looks to see increased delays going forward over the next couple of weeks for getting the last part of their harvest in the bin, so to speak. Here in the United States, we're seeing very active planting progress in parts of the Midwest this week. Looks like that's going to slow down as we get into next week and maybe the week after. So we'll have to see how well we're able to get back in the field. It's early yet. We still have time, something that the markets are certainly going to be watching to see if weather delays planting further. If it delays it too much, we could actually increase soybean acres, switching some more corn acres over to soybeans where that is possible.
Looking at those headlines, you can't get away from them. You talked about early this morning, the Strait of Hormuz, and what that is going to continue to mean for fertilizer demand and movement.
Yeah, right now we're in a situation where President Trump has said, okay, we're going to extend the ceasefire indefinitely, waiting for Iran to come together, the different parties in Iran to come together with a unified peace proposal that we can consider. In the meantime, we're going to continue the blockade on Iranian ports. And as a result, Iran is continuing to prevent other ships from other nations from passing through the Strait of Hormuz as well. There were headlines out this morning that the president is also considering extending that blockade of Iranian business globally, trying to shut off the money supply, the money that they're using to finance their proxy groups, the money that they're using to finance the war, the money they're using to even pay their Revolutionary Guard members who are fighting this war as well as fighting protesters in the streets. So this suggests that we may see the Strait of Hormuz stay closed for a while longer yet, using this methodology of fighting this war via finances and further tighten up supplies of energy and fertilizer. Long-term or the immediate effect is energy, and we certainly saw energy prices higher today. Long-term, it tends to elevate the floor underneath the grain and oil seeds. Doesn't necessarily give us a reason for a bull market, but it does make us more susceptible to a bull market and tends to elevate the floor under the market a little bit more.
What is your takeaway then, Arlen, for the drop we've seen within this cattle market today, and then to see the hogs after they've had such a nice run turn red?
Yeah, and I think let's talk about hogs first. Near term, we're seeing plenty of supply of hogs. Now, last quarterly hogs and pigs report showed an increase in the number of hogs, market ready or market hogs, 180 pounds and heavier. And those numbers have met demand, but they still come in below what the survey would suggest was there. We should be getting past those here over the next few weeks now and moving into the tighter supply time. And that is why the deferred contracts have maintained a premium and even added a bit to that premium in today's markets, while the nearby still reflected the fact that the cash market is still hanging on to weakness. In the cattle market, feeder cattle have generally been the leaders to the downside here this week because of the fact that Secretary Rollins will be in Arizona at that western point, which may get reopened to cattle. It's about 800 miles away from the latest, or the nearest, I should say, New World screwworm sighting. And so that may get reopened, although slowly at first with heavy inspections of the cattle coming through. That's well been telegraphed, that possibility. But today the feeder cattle market seemed to bounce a little bit or consolidate. The fat cattle market continued to see weakness. We're looking at some weak chart signals. That's encouraging a few more feeders to look at maybe letting go of their cattle at a little lighter price and allowing the cash to soften up a bit. We had a few head in Kansas go for 246 yesterday, kind of setting a negative tone for the board again today with these weaker chart signals and ahead of Secretary Rollins' speech coming up later this week.
All right, Arlen Suderman joining us today. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.